versus Realty Consulting, 10-3207. Mr. Madden, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. A reasonable good faith belief in discrimination is all that is required to garner the protections of the anti-retaliation provisions of Title VII and Section 1981. The Court has repeatedly affirmed that this is not an onerous burden. I think the language of the Court, in fact, is that it's a low bar. The Court has only asked that it not be completely groundless, which in Fine and other cases it has defined as based on facts no reasonable person could possibly believe was discrimination.
I always find when a lawyer starts with a burden argument, it means they think they can just barely get over that. And that's what I'm concerned here is obviously the district court didn't think you got over even that limited burden on the limited facts you have here.
Clearly the district court didn't. I don't start with that argument because I think we can just barely get over it. I think that we cover it by leaps and bounds. When an employee who has a long-running history of a pay dispute with his employer discovers that another man who has the same job of a different race is paid more than he is. When he discovers that another man in the same job of a different race is granted the overtime opportunities that he had specifically asked for.
You're saying that your primary evidence doesn't have anything to do with the individual who replaced him.
Correct.
It only has to do with the Hispanic janitor who was paid more.
Those two components are chief among them, yes, absolutely. It's not about, I understand that the plaintiff had articulated in her deposition four facts that she felt justified her belief in her husband's claim of discrimination. The two that I think are grossly overlooked by the district court are the two that involve the Hispanic janitor. We have a Hispanic
But would you, I mean, I guess, just so we're clear, then you're not relying on the fact that another African-American replaced him. That's not a basis. You'll agree that doesn't get over this hurdle, whatever the hurdle is.
Correct. But the nuance of that fact that was important for the plaintiff, and the reason why she mentioned it, is because it ties into the pay issues that her husband had had from the very beginning.
Well, but there's no how does it tie in, counsel? I'm sorry, I'm misunderstanding that.
Her husband, she alleges, from the very beginning, was denied the pay that he was promised.
I understood.
And so she then, when he is replaced with a man who had absolutely no experience at the same pay, she felt that translated into explaining why her supervisor refused to pay her husband the pay he'd been promised.
But it doesn't explain it based on race. I mean, the man who replaced, and she knew the man had replaced her husband was African American.
Certainly, but by that time, her husband had established that pay, and so this person follows.
But that means they took action against him because they didn't like the fact that he was disputing his pay, or that they had some other animus about him personally. Not that there was race.
I guess they took no action against him, Judge. He had resigned.
I didn't state that well. But the point is that. That it doesn't make any sense. It would be utterly baseless for her to have believed that there was discrimination based on their having hired another African American.
Perhaps, but that's not what the case.
Well, then that's what I was trying to get to. Then if the case is about this Hispanic janitor, she really didn't have any information about that janitor either, other than that he was Hispanic and her husband was African American.
And they were both janitors working for the same company. She had monthly manager meetings. The way she discovered the evidence was from one of the other property managers who she has monthly manager meetings with. So she certainly knows the property.
But she didn't know how long the janitor had worked for the company, correct?
Correct. She didn't. And she's not required to. In order to garner the protection of the anti-retaliation provision, all she has to do is have a reasonable belief that it's related to the race. And here we have an Hispanic janitor who is paid more than an African-American janitor, and also...
And that's enough. That's enough to file a complaint and be protected from any adverse job action.
I suggest that it is, but there is also more in this case. That same Hispanic janitor was specifically granted the overtime opportunity that the African-American janitor requested and was denied. And what is more, Judge, that denial is tied to a lie by Ms. Adams. Ms. Adams, when my client asked permission for her husband to work this overtime opportunity, this maintenance marathon, Ms. Adams said, no, he can't participate because only maintenance men are allowed to do it, and your husband's only a janitor. Now, when they have the maintenance marathon, the Hispanic janitor shows up at the facility, and so it's clearly a lie that the janitors can't participate in the maintenance marathon. So we have the pay disparity, we have the denial of overtime, coupled with an active lie or an act of deceit by the manager. Those, I think, are more than sufficient to ground a reasonable good faith belief in discrimination and get the protections of the statutes. Otherwise, we're in a position of saying, and as I think the district court did, the district court's comment was that none of these facts are tied to race. And in all candor, when you compare pay disparities and denial of work opportunities between a Hispanic man janitor and an African-American janitor, I do not understand how that cannot be related to race.
Given that we don't know anything about the other janitor's work experience, the pay disparity doesn't really tell us anything. But I take your point that it's, I mean, if he'd worked there for 20 years, obviously there'd be a pay disparity. The question is, your client didn't have any information about that. So I don't know how to credit a distinction in pay disparity to race.
Is it reasonable if the only fact that you have, the only differentiating factor that is present is
I guess the problem is that's not the case. There are other differentiating factors that your client didn't have, and she leaped to the conclusion that it was a racial matter.
Well, it's important to understand, Judge, that there is no evidence in the record that, in fact, those conditions were any different for the Hispanic janitor. The defendant never introduced any evidence as to exactly what his credentials were or his length of experience or the size of the facility at which he worked. None of that was provided. They only came in and said, well, you didn't know that, did you? And she said, no, I didn't know that, but I did know the property manager who he worked under, and I did know that he was Hispanic and a janitor. My husband's African-American and a janitor, and they're paid differently. And we had a long-running dispute with the manager about how much my husband was paid. That's a reasonable good faith belief.
Not about that individual, though.
I'm sorry?
The dispute wasn't about this other Hispanic janitor at another property. At the time, they were arguing for additional pay, correct?
No, that's going on at the time, absolutely. That Hispanic janitor, she discovers that the Hispanic janitor is making more in the June
and
review.
That's the reason for the filing?
That's the reason for the filing.
Okay.
Absolutely, Judge.
You want to save some time?
I'll reserve the balance of my time.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Madden. Mr. Bergman?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Corey Bergman, representing Realty Consulting. Following up, Judge, on the point that you were just addressing, not only was there no connection made between the Hispanic janitor from a factual perspective and the African-American Victor Nelson, who had resigned, but in a conversation that the plaintiff had with Shane Adams regarding Victor's pay, the Hispanic janitor's pay was not even mentioned. That it was not an issue to her. This is, I suggest, an after-the-fact creation of some reason that she might have participated.
But overtime was. Overtime was an issue.
The maintenance marathon was an issue What Shane Adams testified to is that it's a decision for the individual property manager to make, and that it was not a corporate decision that that Victor Nelson was not working. Her testimony was that if the property manager, it's up to the property manager to decide. And this was another property, not Ms. Nelson's property. It's up to the property manager to decide. And that's as far as that went. This goes to the issue of whether there was a statutorily protected activity. And the reasonableness, and I think the Judge Connelly, you specifically pointed that out, there was no objective reasonableness because all you have, the only fact that the plaintiff had, and it is the plaintiff's burden, is that the Hispanic janitor had just received a raise up to $28,000. Victor was making $26,000. But Ms. Nelson had no facts suggesting that the properties were the same, that the supervisors were the same. In fact, we know the supervisors were not the same. She didn't know how long the other cleaner was working. She didn't know the job responsibilities of the other cleaner. There is nothing to suggest that the other cleaner could be properly compared to Victor Nelson. And as the court pointed out, Mr. Nelson was replaced by another African-American janitor. So we do not have, in any test of reasonableness, an objectively reasonable belief by Ms. Nelson that there was actual discrimination. She may have been complaining about pay, but this is not related to discrimination.
And what's in the record in terms of what starting salaries are generally for people in these positions?
It's discretionary. There is no firm policy. In fact, Realty bent over backwards for Nelson, and this was in the record because her husband had a criminal record, but frankly, they said, all right, we'll give him the opportunity. We'll start him lower, but we will review him every 3 months, which they did, and they increased him every 3 months. So they treated him well. They treated him fairly, and he ultimately resigned because of difficulties he had with his boss, who was his wife, at the same property. One of the other elements that supports the fact of no objective reasonableness was the fact that Victor Nelson also put down that he had been religiously discriminated against on his charge. And Ms. Nelson testified that there was she knew of no facts to support a claim of religious discrimination. So the whole thing was manufactured. And because Ms. Nelson could not establish the initial prong of engaging in statutorily protected activity, the Judge Gettleman properly granted summary judgment. He also
What about their claim that the property, the statement about the overtime policy varying was a lie, that they put in evidence that it was not true, that it varied by property?
They didn't put in evidence that it was not true. I don't think they put in evidence. I think the uncontroverted evidence is that Ms. Adams, who they're basing their argument on, testified that it was the property manager's decision. And that if the property manager had wanted to have him come on, then the property manager could have. I think Ms. Adams testified that generally it's not for the cleaners, but it's not a firm, absolute policy. Many things at Realty are open to individual property manager discretion, and that's one of those things. So summary judgment was properly granted on the Title VII claim. Summary judgment was also properly granted on the common law retaliatory discharge claim. Your Honors, I would ask the Court to affirm the decision of the District Court. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Berman. And how much time does Mr. Madden have? 2 minutes, Mr. Madden.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of quick points. First, on counsel's suggestion that it's undisputed that it was a property manager's decision, that is not the evidence in the record, certainly not the inference they're entitled to on a summary judgment proceeding. The evidence was that Shauna Nelson asked Shane Adams if her husband could participate. She said, Shane Adams said, no, he's not a maintenance worker. That's the evidence that we're entitled to that inference on. Also, to Judge Connolly, your point about relying on the African-American who replaced Victor Nelson, there is nothing in Victor's EEOC charge about the African-American replacement as supporting his claim of discrimination. It is about, I became aware that a Hispanic employee with the same job title at another complex performing the same duties and responsibilities received a higher salary.
Did your client admit that overtime was something that was paid based on the individual property manager's position, that it was discretionary with the property manager? Yes.
No, she did not. My client asked her boss, Shane Adams, who could participate in the maintenance marathon. That's why she was surprised to see this other janitor from another complex show up at her facility in Indiana to perform that work. Also, in terms of the pay, the salary pay, counsel's suggestion that it was up to the property manager is simply not true. All of those raises, all of those pay issues came from Shane Adams, my client's supervisor. Fundamentally, the district court asked that in order or demanded that in order for plaintiff to have the protections of the anti-retaliation statutes, she needed to conduct a similarly situated analysis. Putting that kind of burden on a layperson to even know the McDonnell Douglas burden shifting framework, to know that she needs to go after and find comparative evidence before she can participate in her charge, I think undermines the fundamental responsibilities of the statutes to protect those employees in a broad way from retaliation. There is character evidence in this case that Mr. Irwin absolutely disregarded all of the discrimination laws. It's been 10 years since I've had a case in which an employer had absolutely no employment policies, period. He testified affirmatively that he thinks Shauna's claim was a joke, it was garbage, that people should not be allowed to bring these claims, but they do. The jury's entitled to weigh the measure of the man, and we ask that the case be remanded for trial.
Thank you, Mr. Madden. Thank you to both counsel for your fine briefs and oral argument. We'll take the case under advisement. Have a good weekend.